In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, dear Muslims from the world, hello and welcome to Ma'arif Radio, the English broadcast from Qom City, Islamic Republic of Iran. The program we are presenting now is questions and answers, mainly concerned with religious and Islamic questions, with the presence of experts, as usual, Dr. Hojjatul Islam Bharati, who is ready to answer your questions. For more information, please visit our website on www.radiomaarif.ir. You can also send your questions to radiomaarif@oirib.ir. You can also call 0098-251-291-0551 or 2. Mr. Bharati, hello and welcome to this program.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Mr. Bharati, for the first question is about the a person who has missed, who in fact has missed his grandfather, and his grandfather passed away recently. He said that I'm wondering if I want to increase his sawab or alleviate any suffering of him, what should I do? Is there any special prayer or dua or supplication to increase the sawab after a person passes away or not?
Of course, this question is asked in the time of Prophet, peace be upon him. A lady came and asked Prophet, O Prophet of God, my mother was intending to do Hajj and Umrah, and now she is passed away. If I do Hajj and Umrah for her, is it okay? Does she receive the reward and thawab of this ritual? Prophet, peace be upon him, and his household answered her, yes, do it, and she will receive the reward. So means that after death, if somebody else does, for example, some good deeds or some kind of rituals on behalf of some dead persons, they can receive the sawab, and also they can, for example, if they are owing to somebody,
that's right,
you can pay the, for example, loan instead of them, and this makes them free of punishment. This is our belief about dead people in the period of Barzakh, before the day of judgment.
Limbo, that's right.
Yes. By meaning, yes. But it is not like if he or she did this. If he or she before his death does this, is better. But in some cases, yes, we can do. For example, like his loans, for example.
That's
if
right.
we pay, it makes him free from punishment.
That's
if
right.
we don't pay, he or she is...
Especially if somebody who is good in character and has a divine character is going to pray for you on that time. In fact, maybe your punishment will be alleviated and the suffering will be alleviated.
All Thank kinds you. Of good deeds in behalf of somebody, some dead person.
That's right.
Is okay and valid, and they can receive the sawab.
That's right. Thank you very much. The next question is about the desire in life to have the things that we pray for Allah. It means that... Sometimes we pray for something from Allah, and it is the will of Allah not to give it to us. Sometimes it is the will of Allah to give it to us. So what should we do now? Should we just keep praying to Allah consistently that we want this thing and we believe in this thing? And if Allah is not going to give us that thing we are praying for, so what is the situation here like? What it would be like?
Yes. Dua and supplication is good always in Islam.
That's right.
And has its own reward. Either it is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what you requested is given to you or not. This is guaranteed that you are receiving sawab and reward for your supplication and for your dua. And even dua is one of the most important kinds of rituals and worship.
That's right.
More than that, even there are traditions in Islam says that ad-du'a o mukhul ibadah, prayer or supplication is soul of all worships and rituals.
That's right.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to ask him. to be in contact with him, to be in relation with him, not to forget that you belong to Allah. You need Allah. Allah can do everything for you. You are his servant. You are his faithful and loyal servant. This is okay. And by any way, at least in the minimum case, you have reward of and wage of dua. This is guaranteed. Either your request is accepted or not, your wage and your reward for dua, for supplication, is guaranteed.
That's right.
And it keeps you and safeguards you from a lot of dangers and problems, especially spiritual problems.
That's right.
Like, for example, going astray or to being disappointed and a lot of things. For example, to being far from your faith and your God.
That's right.
Guarantees you from all of these dangers, guarantees for you reward and thawab. And the last thing is your request is accepted or not.
That's right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala initially, basically, guaranteed this, that if you ask me something, I will give you. This is a general ruling and a formula that you should ask, and Allah is guaranteed to give you. وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ أَعْتَاكُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُهُ. I will give you what you want. But in some cases, there are some obstacles, some problems, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not decide to give you this thing. And the obstacles, most of the cases, returns to you.
That's
maybe
right.
This is not good for you.
That's right. They are destined by Allah
not
to give you that at the moment. Maybe you try for it, or maybe there is a later obstacle for you. Just if you reach it now, it will in fact distract you from the true way to the concept.
Maybe they save this for you and give you later.
That's right.
In some cases. Some cases they don't give you at all, but also they guarantee for you other things.
That's
if
right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps this from you and prevents this from you, gives you another thing instead and give you satisfaction by another way.
But nowadays, Mr. Barati, we can see the people that the people unfortunately do not see the things are given to them. They pray for something, it is not given to them. Sometimes they are depressed. Sometimes they are going astray. In fact, they are just deceived by, in fact, the mundane and the formal things of the life. I want to introduce a nice book compiled by Mr. Mutahhari, The Divine Justice, or Adl Ilahi. In one of the chapters of this book, it is mentioned that all the people are asking for different things from God, but God is not, Allah is not going to give them all the things at the moment. Maybe there is a destiny and somehow it is deemed by Allah not to give them at that time. The next question is about the Day of Judgment. It says that what will happen to the heirs after the Day of Judgment? Will it be destroyed? Will be there another life? It means humans, animals, insects, plants, the Day of Judgment. Do we know anything about the Day of Judgment and after it or not?
There are a lot of verses in Holy Quran about Day of Judgment. If Quran contains about 6,600 something verses, about 1,000 verse returns to issues of Day of Judgment and resurrection and punishment and reward and all things around this. 1/6 of Holy Quran is about judgment, day of judgment and resurrection. For this issue, yes, Quran says that it will happen a very big change in the world. And the day of resurrection or judgment, we change this earth planet to another earth planet. We change these heavens to another type of heavens. So there is a decisive change in the world, in the physical world, including this planet and the, for example, system, solar system, all other celestials and heavens. There is a big change. So it means this situation is destroyed, vanished, and another situation, a new system, a new order is established by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right. Do we have any exact, in fact, verse in the Holy Quran that exactly shows the scenery? I'm talking about the panorama of the judgment day. For example, give you a kind of picture. Just we take a picture in mind.
If somebody collects all of these verses and also the traditions, reliable ones, and collects them, even can make a kind of scenario for the day of judgment, and even it's possible to make make film by them. And even some scholars wrote a story upon this facts and informations given in Holy Quran about Day of Judgment. I remember one of them, Siyahat Gharb.
That's right.
Means that kind of tourism the Day of Judgment. But tourism in dream and in mind only. Like you make tour in, for example, a website in a book or in a...
You're just browsing. That's right.
So made a kind of tour in the Day of Judgment according to information given by Holy Quran and traditions.
That's right. What about the humans? After the judgment day, are the humans going to leave? Or the human species or the humankind will be different? What about them? Do we have such verse in Holy Quran mentioned exactly about the human beings or not?
We are not sure, and I don't remember now verses about these special issues. But a general idea, for example, taken from verses and traditions, says yes, some of animals are resurrected on this day, on that day. But all of them, we are not sure.
That's right. Thank you very much. The next question is about the destiny of a man. Is destiny of a man written strictly, in fact, and can it be changed by Allah?
Is written and is possible to be changed.
That's right.
Like, for example, planning for a house or planning for a research or for a film or for a program. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans for it, but always keeps this authority and power and right for himself to change it. And changes are based on will. And in determination of man himself, and his good deeds and acts and bad deeds, and also prayers and supplications, all of them can change the destination, the destiny, because we are not followers of fanatism and determination. Determinists.
That's right.
We don't believe that man cannot change his future, cannot change his life, his end. He can change. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in every moment this power and right to change what he has planned. According to special interests and wisdom, he knows it.
That's right. Thank you very much. The next question is about the undeniable fact of education. In fact, what is the position and the place of education? What is the rank of education in Islamic thought? What is the Islam's idea about education?
I don't think that you can find a religion in the world making a kind of, stress or...
Emphasis, in fact.
Emphasis and obligation.
That's right.
Like Islam, that's on right. The issue of education. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is famous of his sayings about knowledge. Learn knowledge from your childhood, from when you are in mother's, for example, hug.
That's right.
To the
That's
time
right.
You
in
are
fact,
in grave.
Seek knowledge from cradle to grave.
أطلب العلم من المهد إلى
الله. That's right. From cradle
and there
to
is
grave.
No, there is no limitation for the place of learning. أطلب العلم ولو بالسين.
That's right.
No
China.
Limitation of age.
That's right.
As I told you, from the birth time to the death time.
That's right.
There is no limitation of whom you are learning from, who is teaching you. أطلب الحكمة ضالة المؤمن أينما وجدها خذ الحكمة ولو من المشركين خذ الحكمة ولو من أهل النفاق. Limitless. Seeking knowledge in Islam is limitless. And other teachings of Prophet peace be upon him, talabul ilm farizatun ala kulli muslim.
That's right.
It is obligatory for every man and woman in Islam to learn, to seek knowledge. And there is a very nice saying from Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, one of the prominent imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that Imam says, if people knew about knowledge, how much benefits and interests are in seeking knowledge, all of them would risk their lives to go and find knowledge, even if they have to go deep in oceans, or if they have to go far
to the heavens.
To
the skies. Or
لو علم الناس ما في طلب العلم لطلبوه ولو بسفك المهج وخوض اللجج. If people knew about the knowledge and the price of knowledge, they seek for it, even if necessary, to sacrifice their life.
That's right.
To risk their lives.
That's right.
Or to go deep in oceans.
That's right.
So education is not only a right in Islam, but it is a must in Islam.
That's right. It is a must.
It is a necessary and a necessity and an obligation in Islam.
That's right.
To seek knowledge.
And as it is mentioned in this question, what is the role of ijtihad in this way?
Ijtihad is right and might and a must, but not for everybody, for capable people.
That's right.
Which
for educated and cultivated people.
Yes,
right.
For people which are asked and are expected to find the way for the society, like jurists, like lawmakers,
that's
like
right.
Scholars, they have to find the answers. For example, modern questions or current questions which are not mentioned clearly in Islam, in Islamic heritage,
That's right.
in Quran or in Hadith. But we have this question now. We are facing this question now. So we have to answer this question now. They go to find the answer using the facts, using the teachings, educations in Quran, in Hadith, in life of Prophet and other resources, and find out, look up for this solution.
That's
find
right.
solutions for current problems.
That's
from
right.
Islam.
A question which was now posed from the studio staff is that a lot of emphasis is put on the education, any type of education, scientific and knowledge education, from the, in fact, early Islam now. But why Muslims are not that much knowledgeable now? In fact, in the Western society, as there are Christians, we can see that they are more progressive in the science and in the technology. Why Muslims are not that much knowledgeable now? And so what is this? Where is this education exactly?
This question could be raised in three dimensions. One, in individual dimension.
That's right.
For example, why every Muslim is not educated and is not intellectual and learned? Individuals. Another one is raised collectively,
That's
like
right.
as a society, as Islamic ummah, as Islamic nation, with a population and 1.5 billion people, and spread it from southeast of the world, like Indonesia and New Zealand, to the to Balkans and to North Africa. This is another type of question from different dimension, and also could be raised for different groups of people, for different, for example, classes of people. So in the first dimension, we could say that individuals, most of them, majority of them, or approximately very close to 100% of them, are not real Muslims. They don't follow Islamic teachings in their daily life.
That's right.
They call themselves Muslims.
That's right.
But they don't follow Islam. They don't resemble to Prophet of Islam. They don't look at Quran and Hadith and teachings of Islam when they act and react and make relations with others. So this is individually. And also collectively, it is more clear that this present and current Islamic society, Islamic world, is not really Islamic, because it's not possible to be Muslim and to be in dispute, to be in ignorance, to be in, for example, under authority and sovereignty of others, to help enemies, to, for example, dispute with your brother, with others.
That's right.
Also, the entire and complete society, they are not Muslim. Groups of people, I can say, even in the West, this happens. For example, in the West, it's not every individual or every group of people or every class of people, they are learned or scientific or progressed. We can find people in the West even poorer than in the East.
That's right.
More hungry than in the East, or more ignorant than in the East. If you ask young people in the United States of America, where is Iraq? They don't know. Where is Iran? They don't know. Can you show me where is Iran on the map? They cannot show you. So individually and groups, we are not Muslims. Also, collectively, we are not Muslims. We have a name of Islam, a heritage of Islam, a history of Islam. And also, people, they call themselves Muslims. They call themselves Muslims. And this is a very big obstacle for knowing Islam. Every fair and, for example, knowledge seeker person in the West, when comes to study about Islam, and for the first step looks at the society of Islamic world, he finds he gets a very bad impression and perception of Islam. And a lot of people who had cursed Islam or him insulted Islam, or for example, drew cartoons or wrote books.
Caricatures, that's right.
About Islam, majority of them, or 100% of them, are people which look to Islam through Islamic world, Islamic society, and find these people have nothing interesting, nothing new.
That's right.
They are like them. So what is new in Islam? What is unique in Islam? What is, for example, useful for in Islam, they don't find. But we have to change their mind, tell, please, don't look at us as Muslims. Go and find personality of Prophet, peace be upon him, himself, in the history.
That's right, the true Islam, in
the
fact.
The true Islam.
Because the Muslim nowadays are not the samples of the true Muslims.
Not at all.
That's right, that's right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The emphasis in Islam is more on the experimental sciences or religious sciences. Which one of them?
May you repeat your question?
It means the emphasis in Islam is more on the experimental sciences, something experiments around the, I'm talking about the science, or on the religious sciences. Which one of them?
Both of them. Everyone in its zone and its field of work. When there is field of experience, we cannot leave it and forget about it. We should use it. For example, in sciences, we need to vision, sightseeing, and following up the cases. Islam has no opposition for this, and even encourages this. Tajriba, or experience, is praised in Islam. And we have a saying from Imam Ali alayhi salam, says, At-tajriba tufawq al-ilm. Experience is the highest type of knowledge. Other kinds of knowledge in the field of experience have no authority. It is field of experience. But when there is field of another type of knowledge, like religious knowledge, all of them are not possible to achieve by experience. They are, for example, mystic knowledges or philosophic knowledges. Islam is not against all of this. Islam is encouraging. And Muslims were not avoiding experience and experimental knowledges. Before Europe knew all of these types of knowledges, we had chemistry, we had chemisterians, we had physicians, we had mathematicians, we had even, for example, people studying the heavens and
astronomy, astrology. And all. That's right.
And history of Islamic civilization and knowledges is clear and is registered. And fortunately, majority of it is registered by Westerners,
that's
by
right.
non-Muslims.
That's right.
They admit, they confess that new progress and development in knowledge is owing to Muslims.
That's right.
Because Muslims kept all of these knowledges for centuries, for maybe about 750 years, and then delivered it back to the West. They received it from the West. West has gone in a period of darkness.
After the Renaissance.
Before Renaissance.
Before Renaissance, that's right.
They had a dark age.
That's right.
In this dark age, Muslims, either in East or West, in Andalusia, in Spain,
that's right.
In East Europe, in for East Rome, Roma, in Middle East, everywhere in India, in Asia, they received all of these knowledges, worked on them, increased them, developed them, progressed them, and delivered back to the West after crusades, and they again processed them to the age of light,
that's right.
Or Renaissance,
that's
as you
right.
Told. So this is now doubtless, without any doubt in the West. So Islam is not against experience and experimental knowledges at all. But you know that experience has its own limits. It could be used in these limits, in its field, not out of it. For example, if you want to study philosophy by experience, is it possible?
Of course not.
Or, for example, mysticism or ethics, theology, never. But, for example, in chemistry and physics, we cannot use philosophy.
That's
philosophy
right.
is for its own...
Has got its own method and...
methodology.
Method.
Methodology,
yes, methodology
is now
different.
Progressed, and people know that what is the methodology of every branch of science.
That's right. Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu, Ya Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, 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 Ya Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu, 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 Ya Qayyum. The next question is on Eid al-Fitr. I mean, the last day or the, in fact, the festival at the, in the, at the end of the Ramadan after days of fasting. It says when there is only one moon, how is it possible to have two Eid al-Fitr?
Thank you very much.
In fact,
we can answer to this question by using the former answer. You know, it is problem an issue of methodology.
That's right.
Islam, as a religion, has its own methodology for finding the time of ritual and has mentioned it. You cannot, for example, forget about it or you cannot violate it. And science has different way. For example, scientific people, scientific circles, when they find the moon is emerged in South America.
That's right.
For the first time, I think most of the time, moon emerges there. In the first moment of birth of the crescent, people find it in South America.
That's right.
So when they find it, NASA or, for example, other institutions, they declare it.
That's right.
All the scientists in the world, they accept that moon is now born, is born in the this time, for example, 4 o'clock, 4 p.m., for example, 23 minutes, 50 seconds, moon is born.
That's right.
All the scientists on the globe, they accept it. Okay, this is methodology of science. But in religion, we have our own methodology of discovering birth of month. Prophet, peace be upon him, has mentioned this. This is an obligation. You should find the crescent by your own eyes.
Naked eye.
Yeah.
That's right.
Sum lirru'ya wa after lirru'ya. From whom we get the decree of fasting? From Prophet.
That's right.
From the same person we get the methodology of timing. Timing is also by Prophet, peace be upon him. The one who ordered us to fast, the same person orders us to how to make timing for your fasting. Timing should be by eyes. Everybody for his own. And for his own area, for own zone, own, for example, land. For example, the time you can observe the moon in South Asia is not the same time.
That's right.
You can observe it in South America, like noon time.
That's right.
You are going to pray your noon prayer. Are you doing and saying your prayer simultaneously with people in Japan and people in California?
Of course not.
Yes. Everybody for his own zone and time and place and situation. This is possible to follow for the ages, for centuries. Everybody for his own, according to his conditions, according to his abilities, according to his devices of knowledge and senses, he should find timing for rituals. Okay, this is ordered by Prophet, peace be upon him. A shepherd in the, for example, desert, or a university professor, or a, for example, pilot in the airplane, or, for example, a driver in car, everybody can follow this easy way according to his abilities, senses,
right,
devices, time, place, land. Okay, when I find the moon, then I start fasting. Or again, at the end of the month of Ramadan, when I find the crescent again, I stop fasting and start the festival or the Eid. For Fetr. So this is possible to order to all people of the world. If not, you want to say them, all of them, you follow NASA. NASA was not existing in last centuries.
That's right.
And maybe after some years.
You mean the methodology of science is completely different from that of religion. And because we are following the religion and Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, we should follow also his methodology.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And if we are not able, in fact, to predict and to see the moon with the naked eye, at that time we should refer to the religious authorities who has just studied.
There are four other ways,
four other
methods mentioned also for you. First of all is your naked eyes and watching and observing. Then two witnesses. Or not a kind of, agreement between all people. Then, if not, counting of days. If you count 30 days from the beginning of last month, the month of
that's
Ramadan,
right.
That's your Eid al-Fitr. The last one is decree of the, for example, authority, religious authority.
Yes, thank you very much. Mr. Bharati, it was very nice of you, and I think that today we got a really rich, discuss rich concepts on the Islamic thoughts. Thank you very much for your answers.
That's your kindness and favor. I say goodbye to you and your listeners. Hope to see you again.
Thank you very much. Dear listeners and dear brothers and sisters from the world, this was the program Question and Answers from Radio Maarif, the English broadcast from Qom City, Islamic Republic of Iran, with the presence of experts Dr. Barati. For more information, please visit our website on www.radiomaarif.ir. You can also send your emails to radiomaarif@irib.ir. You can also call 0098-251-291-0551 or 2. Thank you very much, dear brothers and sisters. This is the end of this session. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah. Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah, Allah subhanallah, Allah hamdulillah.